Our Hebrew Bible lesson is Isaiah 61, verses 10 through 62, verse 3. It's found on page 650 in the Hebrew Bible, or in the Bible in your pew, and 846 if you're using the large print. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My whole being shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its shoots, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all the nations. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent, and for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until her vindication shines out like the dawn, and her salvation like a burning torch. The nations shall see your vindication, and all the kings your glory, and you shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give. You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. The word of God for the people of God. Now, if you'll turn in your hymnal to page 861. We'll read together the Psalms responsibly. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise the Lord in the heights. Praise the Lord, all his angels. Praise the Lord, all his hosts. Praise the Lord, sun and moon. Praise the Lord, all shining stars. Praise the Lord, highest heavens, and all waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord who commanded that, and they were created, who established them forever and ever, and fixed their bounds which cannot be passed. Praise the Lord from the earth, sea monsters and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and smoke, stormy winds, God's commands. Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, and all cattle, creeping things and flying birds, kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the earth. Let them praise the name of the Lord, whose name alone is exalted, whose glory is above earth and heaven. God has raised up a horn for his people. Praise for all his faithful ones, for the people of Israel who are near their God. Praise the Lord.
Our epistle lesson this morning comes from Paul's letter to the Galatians, chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. It can be found on page 178 in the New Testament section of your pew Bible. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as children. And because you are children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a child. And if a child, then also an heir through God. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be.
Let me ask you to rise as you are able for the reading of the Gospel of Jesus Christ according to Luke. Luke chapter 2, verses 22 through 40. In the Pew Bible in the New Testament, it's on page 55. And in the large print edition on page 71 of the New Testament. And actually, I'm going to back it up to verse 21 because it fills in the gap between the two stories. After 8 days had passed, it was time to circumcise the child, and he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. When the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when his parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Truth be told, it felt strange to be writing this sermon before Christmas, knowing that it would be after Christmas that these words would be delivered. You may also be feeling this strange, maybe even melancholy sensation of being between Christmas and New Year's Day, this feeling of already and not yet that pervades so much of the Christian experience. One of the Christmas traditions in my family is to go out and look at the lights and lawn decorations in the yards of folks in the surrounding neighborhoods. Do you do that too? Do you ever drive around? Well, you've probably seen those signs that are posted in several yards around our neighborhoods, those signs that read, "Keep Christ in Christmas." Have you seen that sign? I think that's a good one. Well, let me tell you about an amazing yard decoration not too far from our house that goes quite a bit farther in meaning. These folks have created a display that speaks volumes about Christian theology. When I saw it, I was reminded of this already and not yet principle, but I was also reminded of the experiences of Simeon and Anna as well. In this yard, there is a typical manger scene with the large plastic figures of Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus, surrounded by a shepherd and a sheep, and two angels playing their celestial trumpets. Beautiful and fairly standard Christmas fare. Behind this scene, though, is a simple large wooden cross with a crown of thorns hanging from the crosspiece. And there are palm branches sticking up from the ground on the base of the cross. And then from the manger that holds the newborn baby Jesus, there's a long string of red lights that goes all the way up to the crown of thorns on the cross.
simple and profound.
That yard display is also evocative of this story from Luke, the story of Simeon and Anna vindicated. These two people were devout Jews who'd been long anticipating the arrival of the Lord's Messiah. Both Simeon and Anna had waited and prepared faithfully their whole lives for the coming of the Christ who would answer the prayers of all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem, to use the words of Luke. Joseph and Mary were following the Torah, the law of the Jewish faith, by bringing their newborn son to the temple in Jerusalem 33 days after his birth. As Scripture tells us, Simeon took this tiny Jesus in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. These seemingly endless years of hope and waiting and preparation for this old man were truly vindicated. Simeon was holding the true Messiah, the light of the world, in his own arms. But clearly, this news was amazing to Mary and Joseph, and it got even more perplexing. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." You see, just like the trajectory of the red lights in that lawn display I just described to you, Simeon could look into the future guided by the Spirit, and Simeon could see the crucifixion of the incarnate God, this same baby Jesus. Simeon could even forecast Mary's future pain as she looked upon the death of her precious son on that horrible Roman cross. There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment, she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. Just like Simeon, Anna was vindicated in her waiting and hoping and preparing for the Lord. In describing these events in the temple and the testimonies of Simeon and Anna, Luke was calling attention to the fulfillment of Scripture, specifically to the prophet Joel. "You shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I, the Lord, am your God, and there is no other. And my people shall never again be put to shame. Then afterward I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions." Jesus, the Messiah, had been born. Mary and Joseph and Simeon and Anna had witnessed this monumental event. And yet, Israel itself did not look any different. The Roman Empire was still in charge, and things were, for all intents and purposes, pretty much the same as before that birth. The people of God were still waiting, but the kingdom of God was truly at hand. God's love was incarnate in human flesh. Well, it's pretty clear that you and I and all the believers of the 21st century are in nearly the same state of waiting and watching and preparing as Mary and Joseph and Simeon and Anna. But just like the Apostle Paul, we're a bit farther along in the story of God's current and coming kingdom. From afar, you and I have been witness to this amazing birth of the newborn king at Christmas. And we have also been witness to Jesus' crucifixion and death
and earth-shattering resurrection at Easter. Our faith and hope and salvation has already been vindicated by Christ. But for all intents and purposes, the ways of the world are still pretty much the same as they were in Paul's time. We live and work and worship and pray in that in-between time of already and not yet, with Jesus on the throne of heaven. As you probably are aware, New Year's Eve is this Wednesday. The turning of another calendar year is a time for personal reflection and potential change. As we approach the beginning of this new year, 2015, let us listen to and heed the words of Paul in his letter to Titus. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all, training us to renounce impiety and worldly passions, and in the present age to live lives that are self-controlled, upright, and godly, while we wait for the blessed hope and the manifestation of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. He it is who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify for himself a people of his own who are zealous for good deeds. Doesn't this sound like good advice for Christian people hoping to improve their lives and follow closely after the one who is the newborn King and the risen Lord, Jesus Christ? If you are truly committed to being a disciple of Jesus, I suggest that you look to these words of Paul as a worthy blueprint for your New Year's resolutions. And I ask you, isn't it time to respond to the grace of God that has appeared and has brought salvation to us all, training us to renounce impiety and worldly passions? Isn't it time in the present age to live lives that are self-controlled, upright, and godly, while we wait for the blessed hope and the manifestation of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ? Isn't it time that individually and as the combined body of Christ, we ought to become a people of Jesus who are zealous for good deeds? My sisters and brothers, it is that time indeed. Our faith, our hope, our love, and our lives have been vindicated through our Lord Jesus Christ. We are truly in that in-between time of already and not yet. Christ is born. Christ is risen. Christ will come again because Jesus Christ is Lord. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Let us prepare the way of the Lord. Amen.